4:33, a supersized edition of the program coming to you from the downtown Chicago Marriott, Big Ten Media Days, and we are pleased to be joined by Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz here, getting ready to embark on year number 20 as the head coach of the Hawkeyes, as Dakota Dixon. See, when you guys win the West this year, you can thank us because these guys are all filling up on the Twizzlers.
That's good.
And the Slim Jims. You know, just got to warn your guys to keep them away. How are things?
They're good. I'm a little nervous here looking at this bottle of Tums.
Well, those are we like to bring those for the coaches.
You guys have tough questions, huh?
After you guys get done dealing with the media you know how difficult it is.
I thought that was like foreshadowing.
Let's go ahead and get the house cleaning out of the way. You've confirmed some of the departures from the program, the guys who aren't listed, and then you had an incident, which I say it's commendable. He was trying to take an Uber ride home. Unfortunately, he tried to get into a police car, but it sounds like Brady's going to be suspended for one game for that incident. Right.
Yeah, it you know, certainly could have been worse, but at the same time, hardly acceptable. So, you know, we'll have him jump through a few hoops, and hopefully he'll do a good job with that, and then we'll move on after that first game.
If that's the biggest scandal that you guys have to deal with this year, especially given what everybody else is dealing with in the college sports world, you'd probably take that right now, wouldn't you?
I think every parent and every college coach, you know, is always concerned about the kind of decisions young people make, and that's it never ends, so that's just part of what we do.
Now, Coach, heading into fall camp, I think a lot of people are looking at the wide receiver group. I'll get to your quarterback in just a second, but what kind of development do you want to see from that group in a couple of weeks?
You know, I think it's interesting. You mentioned the quarterback, and you know, a year ago we weren't sure who our starter was. Certainly, Nate really stepped up and did a great job. And then where I'm going on that whole thing, if you look at our receiver group right now and where they were a year ago, two of them were just coming out of high school. You had a guy like Nick Easley who did a great job. And we thought Nick was good. He did a nice job in spring ball, but we didn't quite see him playing or practicing at the level we saw once the season began. And then the other guy's Kyle Gronowick, who's in our two deep right now. And quite frankly, I'm not sure I knew who Kyle was in July last year. He was a late addition. LeVar Woods knew about him a little bit, and he had interest in coming. And so he chose to transfer, redshirted, and he did a lot of good things back in bowl preparation in December, and we liked what we saw this spring.
I'm glad you bring up the Nate Stanley, because I want to go back a year. You had to make a very difficult decision on who was going to be the starting quarterback last year, and it went, I think, just a few days before the start of the season. Compared to where Nate Stanley was last year and 365 days later, what has the development been like for him? Because I can't help but notice he's here with you for Big Ten Media Day. I think only the second junior to ever do that.
Right, and for the record, he's only the second junior I'm aware of that's ever been a captain in our program. I think Steve went back to the 30s on that one. So Josie was elected by his teammates after his sophomore year as captain, and Nate the same way. So that's a pretty powerful statement right there that his teammates saw him that way. And then the way he played last year, you know, he had a couple tough moments like all of us, and, you know, certainly quarterback plays very, very visible, but I thought he just did a tremendous job. And the thing we're pleased about, the growth that we saw step after step, so, and then the growth he's taken since the start of this new year in January. So he's just doing a good job. He's extremely conscientious, works at it, and there are things that he has to clean up and can't clean up in his game that will make him a better player, but yeah, we're just excited he's taking snaps for us.
Thoughts on the offensive line as you get ready to open camp? Usually a strength for you guys. Your better teams at Iowa are led by better offensive lines. Where do you think you are going into this season?
Well, I think we have an opportunity to have a solid line, hopefully a good line. Some of the things that made it a little bit tougher for us last year are actually going to benefit us now, I think. You know, we talk about young players playing, and both, I think, Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirst got in there basically out of necessity when we lost Boone Myers and Ike Bakker. So that forced those guys to play, and we were pleased with what we saw behind the scenes in practice. But when they got in there, I thought they did a lot of good things. They had their ups and downs too, just like Nate. But I think, you know, that experience, that's something you can't hand a player. So I think both those guys have taken it, both performed well in the spring. They continue to work hard, and I think those two guys have a chance to really have solid years for us. Keegan Render is one of, I think, our more improved players over the last 3 years, just keeps doing a great job, and he's a really respected player. Ross Reynolds has done a good job. And then the fifth spot right now is really kind of up for grabs right now. If you look at Cole Banwart, Levi Paulson, I'd probably start with those two guys. So I think we have some good things going on. Mark Kallenberg's done a nice job, good competition, and really anxious to see what the guys do in the month of August.
When you look at your tackles, and Tristan and Alaric, you can't teach size, you can't teach athleticism. What is it like having a couple of young guys out there, but you know that you have a lot to work with tangible-wise?
Yeah, you know, we're not used to that. We typically don't have guys that big, and both those guys are big guys. And so it's a little bit different that way, and they came to us big. So it's just, you know, that's been good. But the most important thing is the way they handled last year. I thought, again, they had some tough moments, a couple of hiccups out there, but for playing at the level, you know, Tristan was just a kid out of high school, and then Alaric just being a redshirt freshman. Thought they really held their own and did some good things, and now the important thing is that they have a chance to become players who can, you know, maybe do what they want to do, not just, you know, get the job done, but maybe really do it the way they want to do it.
Noah Fant is getting a lot of attention regionally and nationally coming into the season. And then Mackey Award watch list comes out, and you've got Noah and TJ on that both. What are your, I don't want to say plans, what are your expectations for those guys within the offense this year? You know, Noah's not going to catch 11 touchdown passes most likely again.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
Although he'll get attention, to your point. There's no question. People are going to, I would think, when they start game planning, the first thing they're going to look for is him. So, you know, that's a given. What helps us, I think, is he's got great position flexibility. We can do a lot of things with him, and he's going to be better apt to handle that now, or better able to handle that than he was a year ago. He was an extremely young player. He played a little bit, you know, two seasons ago. So last year he came into the year as a really young guy. And just like the quarterback discussion, I think last year's experience, what he's done this spring, is should give him a lot of confidence going into this year. And, you know, a year ago at this point, nobody really knew who TJ was. So he's same way. I think we just see a good growth out of him, good maturity. And, you know, he's not your average guy out there. He's a pretty talented player.
Thoughts on the backfield before we move on to the defensive side? Maybe you guys are a little thin there, thinner than you would like to be, maybe just because of injuries and attrition. But Torin, a pretty good place to start with.
Yeah, I think really what we don't have there is experience. You know, we feel good about the people that we have, and then bringing Mekhi Sargent in, I think really fortified that and bolstered that when we learned that Tokes was not going to be able to return from his injury. Yeah, that kind of prompted that move. And Mekhi is a guy that Calvin Bell had seen a year ago. It was back in December. Saw him playing a bowl game up in the UD Dome, and really piqued our interest. So feel good about the group. I think we have good versatility there. What we don't have is experience, but what we did see of both Torin and Ivory last year on the game field, we liked. I think they're ready to take another step, and hopefully Mekhi can work into that equation, and we're not going to rule out the freshman either.
I want to go back to something we were talking about with the offensive line and the tackles. You mentioned that your team, you don't usually have those big-time five-star athletes on your team. But when you look at this team, you have a quarterback that looks like looks like an NFL quarterback. You have defensive ends and Anthony Nelson and A.J. Epinesa, who are big-time athletes. This team is just, you have so many really good athletes. How do you take advantage of that?
Well, hopefully they'll play well collectively, and we are big. I mean, I just rode down the elevator with Hesse, Nelson, and Nate, Parker's not 6'8", but he's tall. They're all taller than me, but I'm used to that, so that's probably a good thing. But, we've got some good size, and I think we have some talent, but the whole key is about how we pull it together and how the team plays together. And then, you know, it all starts with our best guys playing their best, and the guys you just mentioned have all been on the field. We expect them to play at a really high level. And if they don't, I tell our guys all the time, if they're not playing good, we're going to be in trouble, because it starts with that. And then the next part is, you know, how are the other guys that haven't played as much? Just talked about Torin and Ivory. You know, are they ready to take that step? Are they ready to assume that responsibility and go out and play winning football? And, you know, from our vantage point, I say ours coaches, you know, we think they're perfectly ready and perfectly capable. So now it's just a matter of doing it. But there's a lot of hard work that goes into that, and that's what the guys have been doing the last 2 months. And then the next phase starts here in another few days.
Kirk Ferentz with us for a few more minutes here. You've got your podium time tomorrow. Have you thrown out the first pitch yet at the at Yankee Stadium, or is that still on the horizon?
Well, full disclosure, I did make it to New York. but just couldn't work out a date for the baseball thing. Our Junes are just like, you know, they used to be nice months.
But you're a baseball guy. You had to have been looking forward to that.
You know, here was the trick on it. Again, our Junes are just like total chaos now in college football, so good luck finding any date in there that's good. And then the other caveat there was that there were some dates that weren't available. They just got done playing the Mets, and I don't think they wanted Kirk Ferentz pitching out, throwing the opening pitch for the Mets games, Mets series. So, anyway, it just didn't match up, and I don't know if I can get a rain check on that or not. We'll have to wait and see.
We'll call it a snow check
after that. Last pitches I threw one out in Quad Cities, Des Moines, I think, Banks Field. So I'm more of an Iowa throw, you know, first pitch guy, I guess.
The new redshirt rule. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great. It's a start. Me personally, I wish we just gave everybody 5 years eligibility. That'd be my request or vote. But I think this is a real good start. It's good for the quarterback situation for obvious reasons. We would have benefited from that on a couple fronts thus far. And then I look at it a couple ways. You know, you have guys in camp that look like they might be able to help out. And if you throw them out there on the field and they really struggle, they really, you know, kind of hits a wall, you can pull back and not burn a year of eligibility. And then the other side is at the end of the year, if you see a guy on the ascension or if you have an injury need or something of that nature, it gives you a chance to get a guy in the field. But I'm really more interested at maybe from a guy who starts to ascend, handles the transition well to college, and, you know, sitting there at the end of October and, hey, you know, this guy could probably go out and do some things for us. And, you know, in years past, you hate to burn a year just for a couple games.
20 years as head coach at Iowa. If I gave you one mulligan on anything over the last 20 years, one thing that you would like to go back and do differently, maybe it's a different game, maybe it's a decision, maybe it's something completely inconsequential, one mulligan in 20 years at Iowa, what would you use it on?
You know, there are two game decisions that always stand out in my mind. I kind of carry with me. And I still got one from Maine when we played at UConn. So, you know, if I could pull those two back or one of those two, you know, I would. But I don't know how many other things. I haven't given a lot of thought, quite frankly. So, but those two, you know, there are certain things when you're a coach or a player, I think, you know, you always carry plays around in the back of your mind that you wish you could get back. But we all know you don't get them back.
There are a couple players that I'm looking at, and just based on what you said, like, I think you called James Daniels one of the best center prospects you'd seen in your career, and then you have Josie Jewell, a three-time captain. How do you go about replacing those guys and not putting too much on the plate of somebody who's trying to replace those guys?
It's for all of our players, they just have to be who they are. I mean, that's first and foremost. You can't, in anything you do in life, you can't be somebody else or duplicate what they do or worry about that. You just have to worry about doing your best and then let the pieces, especially in football, just let the pieces of the puzzle work itself out. For us to expect any of our linebackers currently to play like Josie did last year, that's not realistic, but we're hoping they can approach it. We've had some good linebackers traditionally, and hopefully we can keep that standard up there. Yeah, and the same thing with James. I mean, to try to, you know, when I talked about James, first guy that comes to mind is Joel Hilgenberg when I got to coach him back in the early 80s. And there's a guy in the NFL named Wally Williams who is all three of those guys just had a unique quickness and athleticism that you can't teach that. I mean, you know, you can't hand it to a guy. So James is his challenge is really learning how to grow into that athleticism just like Joel did, just like Wally did. And I'm confident he's going to do that here in the next 2-3 years. And when he does, look out, and because there are certain things he's got. But Keegan Render has done a really nice job playing center. Cole Banward had a really good spring. Levi Duwa is a guy we've converted into a center. So, you know, it's just a matter of those guys, continue to work hard. But all three of them will have different games than James. And, you know, 19 years, nobody's had a game like James. James is pretty unique.
Steve has the hook out here, but before we let you go, I wanted to ask one non-football question so that we could get to know you a little bit better. I promised our listeners I was going to ask that. What's the last book you read?
I got a story on that one. Hey, you want a story?
Absolutely.
The answer is it's Camino Island, John Grisham. I love reading his books. Anyway, so somehow I missed it whenever it came out. It's fairly recent. It was just on the bestseller list. I asked my wife, I said, how'd that happen? I guess it comes out in paperback, and it goes up the list, right? So she explained it to me. So it's a couple years old. But the reason I read it I read a book prior to that somebody gave me, and they just said it's like reading a textbook. I won't tell you the name of the book, but I grinded through that thing. I hate using that word grind, but it was a grind. Like, you know, so when I finished that, it was about last weekend, I guess last Sunday, I said, you know, I deserve a treat here. And John Grisham's mindless entertaining. So I read that, just closed that one up, and I'm carrying a different one in my briefcase right now. So anyway, that's one of the great things about summer. You get a chance to do some reading, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that opportunity.
Well, summer's over. We're here in Chicago, Big Ten Media
Close.
Day.
We're still going to squeeze a couple more days out here before it gets serious.
You guys start August 11th?
We're
August 10th.
On the field a week from Friday.
A week from Friday.
So August 3rd, and we've got a recruiting function this weekend. So, but there's still a couple windows for some pleasure, hopefully.
Coach, we appreciate you taking time, as always, here in Chicago with us, and look forward to hearing what you got to say at the podium tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be just, you know, on the edge of your seat, I'm sure of that.
You're gonna get questions about the balance between the East and the West. That was the talking point today.
Do you guys have any suggestions?
You can bone up tonight.
Any opening lines?
No, I think Scott Frost used most of them today.
He's a popular guy today.
Between Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh today, I think it's you're out of the spotlight.
Tomorrow's
going to
be kind of a – good. Well, sounds good. Great to be with you guys. Hope you guys beat me home.
Kirk Ferentz, I do too. Finishing up here with us before his duties take him to the podium tomorrow. Year number 20 for Kirk. Iowa Media Days, as he mentioned, coming up in a couple weeks.